Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14.15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. Assume you're all Torah scholars, but just in case not, let me break this down. Go to verse 4. Nevertheless, Leviticus 11 verse 4, nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves, the camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. Look at the words, shall not eat. In Hebrew, that is lo tochlu. Spell it L-O space T-O-C-H-L-U. Lo tochlu. Lo means it's a permanent commandment. If it was temporary, it would be al tochlu. You can't eat now for some reason. You're unclean or there's no refrigeration, anything like that would be a temporary prohibition, would be al tochlu. When you see lo tochlu, it means not ever. So in Leviticus 11:4, with a negative commandment, when God says lo tochlu, he doesn't have to say this is a statute forever. He just said it's forever. Then look at verse 8. Their flesh you shall not eat. In Hebrew, that's lo tochlu. Means never. In verse 11, they shall be an abomination to you. Shall not eat their flesh. That's lo tochlu. Not ever. In verse 42, whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they're an abomination. That's lo tochlu with an M sound at the end. Literally, you shall never eat them. So four times in Leviticus 11, God repeats over and over, not ever. Does that sound like a temporary prohibition? No. So why is it in the New Testament? We're going to get there. Just be patient. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29. Moses has mere days, if not just hours, to live. And he knows it. And he is pounding the podium, trying to get the children of Israel to listen. Listen to me, he's saying. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. That is, some things he's not revealed. Can you remember in the book of Revelation, there were seven thunders and John was going to write it down. God said, don't write that down. So that's not for us to know. But those things which are revealed, those that they did write down for us, belong to us and to our children. What's that next word? Forever. That we may do all the words of this law. There are actually two words there in the forever. It's ad olam, A-D space O-L-A-M, olam. Ad means until, and olam, until forever has been accomplished. And that's referring to the Torah, all the sayings, all the commandments, all the words that God has given. Belong to us for how long? Till we get to the new heavens and the new earth. How many of you think we're there already? There are denominations that teach that. This is the new heavens and new earth. It's absolutely sinless and perfect. There's no violence. I don't know what they're smoking. Whatever it is, they shouldn't be smoking it. Go to 2 Kings chapter 17. I want to show you another instance of Kol HaYamim, which means all of the days. Which means so long as there's a day, nothing has changed. So God says, Olam, La'olam, Adolam, La'olam Va'ed, Kol HaYamim. Five different ways of saying, would you listen to me? I mean forever. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 37. And the statutes, the ordinances, the law, and the commandment. That's four different ways of saying different types of commandments. That's all inclusive, right? Which he wrote for you. You shall be careful to observe forever, but it's all of the days. Kol HaYamim, all of the days. We just lost video here. Let's see if we can get it back. There we go. So that's Torah. If there's a day, if the sun came up today, then the commandments, statutes, and judgments of the Torah are still in effect. Go to Psalm 119, verse 44. Psalm 119, verse 44. Psalm 119, verse 44. How many different verses could we look at in Psalm 119? As long as you're at Psalm 119, just stop at verse 1. We'll read all of it. No, we won't. But we will read verse 1. Because the first word's wrong. First word's blessed. You know that's wrong. How do you know it's wrong? Because every verse, 1 through 8, starts with an aleph, and blessed begins with a bait. So this is an acrostic psalm. The first word is ashrei. It means happy. Happy. Talking about judgment day. Happy are the tamim, the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. It says, when you come to judgment day and stand before the Lord, if you have been undefiled in the way and walked in the commandments of the Lord, it's going to be happy day. If you've not, well, that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, and that's not happy. But we're here for verse 44, which we looked at before, but I wanted to reinforce it. And I also want to see if anybody said, hey, we've been there before, or if you just didn't notice. It says, so shall I keep your law, your Torah, continually, tamid, without interruption. Forever and ever. How much forever can you get than forever and ever? The answer is no. It means we'll never, ever at any time come to an end. Then back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. I normally don't bounce back and forth. I normally like to go in order. Except I was kind of freewheeling in my thinking. What have we not yet covered? So Deuteronomy 12. We're going to read 28 to 32. The key verse here is 28. Verse 28 says, observe and obey. If he just said observe, somebody might think, well, that just means to think about it, to know it, to read it. When you add and obey, that kind of makes it very specific, doesn't it? Observe and obey all these words which I command you. So we've seen commandment, we've seen statute, we've seen judgment, we've seen Torah. This one just says all the words. So that you can't get any broader than that. Which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever. The forever here is ad olam. Until we come to the new heavens and the new earth, nothing will have changed from the Torah. Gee, does that remind you of something Messiah said in Matthew? Well, keep that in hold because we're going to come to that in about 10 minutes. So verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, Take heed yourself that you're not ensnared to follow them after they're destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. That makes you think serving their foreign gods this way, but it's not just that. Verse 31 says, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. Meaning what? Don't take the pagan practices like decorating evergreen trees and painting colored eggs that come from magical little rabbits and do that to God. It says, don't do that. It says, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they've done to their gods. They burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you. How broad is that? Pretty broad. Be careful to observe it. What does it mean to be careful?
Guard yourself.
You shall not add to it nor take away from it. In other places it says, don't turn to the right or the left. That's what this means. Don't add commandments. Don't take away commandments. What did the church do in the fourth century? They said, stop keeping the Sabbath. Do Sunday instead. Stop avoiding pork. You have to eat pork. Stop doing the appointed times like Passover. Do the pagan festivals of Easter. They took away God's commandments and they substituted things from sun god worship. What did God say about doing those things to him? Don't do it. And he said, don't do it when? Forever. Yes, I heard somebody.
I wanted to ask in verse 28 where it says observe and obey, is the obey Shema Bakol?
It's going to be some form of it. I'll look in a second.
Thank you.
It's just Shemata. I didn't think it would be because the way it's written, but I didn't want to trust my memory. But Daniel's got the Hebrew there. He was quicker getting to it than I was. From here, go to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Don't worry, if there's time, we'll get to the New Testament. We're getting there. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. Is this an important topic? It is, because everybody you witness to is going to say, well, yeah, that was for them back there, but God didn't mean it for today. What have you seen in the scriptures? God meant it forever. So 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. This is David, prophet and king. It says, remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. People give different estimates for a generation. 40 years, 70 years, 80 years. Make it the very smallest. Go with 40 years. What's 40 times 1,000? 40,000 years. And the earth is only 6,000 years old. So what does this tell you? It means into eternity future. Absolutely. And what's forever? His covenant and his word. But I thought the new covenant did away with the old covenant. No, it's the renewed covenant. The covenant hasn't been done away with. As much as the writers in Hebrews chapter 8 translated things to make it look that way. When do God's covenants end?
Never.
Psalm 89:34, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So what if God's covenant went away? Did he lie or did he just not know? In either case, is catastrophic. So it just didn't happen. So his covenant and his word. Let's go to Psalm 105, verse 8. You know what? You're going to see the very same thing. Psalm 105, verse 8. I still remember leading my congregation down in Alabama 30 years ago, maybe. I said, what should we study next? And somebody said, Psalms. I said, Psalms? What's there in Psalms to study? And 2 years later, when we finished Psalms, we found that it's so full of prophecy They became one of my favorite books. Psalm 105, verse 8. It is full of prophecy. Verse 8 says, He, referring back to verse 7, the Lord our God, remembers his covenant forever. In 1 Chronicles 16, it was, you remember it forever. And here it's, he remembers it forever. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Oh, where else do you see that reference to those generations?
You see it in Deuteronomy 7:9. You see it in Exodus 20.
Yeah. You do. Let's go back. Keep a finger here and go back to Exodus 20 for a minute. Our God is a merciful God. But the scripture doesn't promise it's that he's merciful toward everyone. I mean, if you were to ask Sodom and Gomorrah, they might tell you that God's a touch vengeful on occasion. But if you go back and read what God wrote, let's go to Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6. And we could chase the ibex for quite a long way and find other verses say the same thing. It says, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, the lawlessness, the words avon in Hebrew, of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, that's thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So God promised to show mercy to whom? Those who love me and keep my commandments. Just food for thought. So go back to Psalm 105, verse 8. He refers to the Lord our God, remembers his covenant forever, which he commanded for 1,000 generations. That word forever is le'olam. Le'olam. So, so long as we've not come to the new heavens and new earth, there is no argument that God's covenant and his commandments are still in effect. Go to Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. For those who teach dispensationalism from the aspect that God keeps changing his mind and his plan, he can't decide what he wants. Look at Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Does God's word change? No. That word forever, le'olam. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's always been settled. It will remain to be settled. It will not change. Same psalm, Psalm 119, verse 160. Verse 160. Verse 160 puts it a little different. Says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So can God's word fail? I sometimes have to laugh at theologians that I'm discussing things with. We get to Matthew 5. They will often say, well, it was true when Jesus said it. He didn't know it was going to become untrue just 3 years later. Can God's word stop being true? No. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 8. Verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, But the word of our God stands for a little while.
Forever.
No, it says forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Which words? All of them. All of them. Psalm 89, verse 34 says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Is God true, or is God a liar? We'll address that head on in just a few minutes. First, Isaiah 59. Oh, by the way, in Isaiah 40, verse 8, there was Le'olam. Le'olam. Isaiah, you guys have probably figured that out by now. Isaiah 59, verse 21. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth, so my spirit, my words, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. That's Ad Olam. Ad Olam. Meaning, if we're not in the new heavens and the new earth, there's not a chance that a word has failed. So at this point, let's go to the New Testament. Because there's people that are getting frustrated with me out there and go to meeting land going, yeah, but that's all Old Testament stuff. Yeah, okay. Let's go to the New Testament.
Well, what is it that the New Testament calls Scripture? It's not itself.
That's correct. What does it call Scripture?
The law,
the prophets, and the writings. Yeah, that's what Messiah himself defined as Scripture. But in Matthew 4:4, Messiah is going to quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which is from the Torah. Do you mean Messiah read the Torah?
He wrote the Torah.
He wrote the Torah. He knows every word. He's the living Torah. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written. Where's it written? In the Torah. Why does he refer us back to the Torah? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which words?
Every
word. So which commandment did God speak that no longer applies? Messiah says they all apply. Is he right or wrong? He's right. In Matthew 5, I'm sure that you guys have gone over verses 17 and 18 with the fine-tooth comb, but we'll do it again just in case. Verse 17 says, do not think. What color are the words?
Red.
Do not think that it came to destroy the law of the prophets. That's a Hebrew idiom. Matthew was originally written in Hebrew, not Greek. Many church fathers tell us that from the first century through the eighth century. To destroy the law is to teach it incorrectly. That's what the scribes and Pharisees have been doing. He says, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Just this week, I had a pastor tell me that Jesus fulfilled the law, so we don't have to. That's not this word fulfilled. You're thinking of an English word with a different meaning. This phrase, to fulfill, in Greek, write it down as plerosai. P-L-E-R-O-S-A-I. Plerosai. You want to know what it means? Keep a finger here and go to Romans 15:19, thank you. Romans 15:19, where the Apostle Paul uses the same verb, but they translate it well over here in Romans. Romans 15:19. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached. That's what plerosai is. I have fully preached the gospel of Messiah. So come back and put that in here in Matthew 5:17. I did not come to destroy, but to fully preach. It means he came to clarify our understanding. The scribes and Pharisees have taught it wrong. He came to teach it correctly. Because you can't do what you don't know. So he wanted to make sure that come judgment day, you stand before him and say, I read what you said. I understood it. I did it. So go to verse 18, which is the reason we're here. Think of all those times we saw Olam, Le Olam, Le Olam Va'ed, Ad Olam, Kol HaYamim, Tamid. Verse 18 says, for assuredly, which means he's telling us the truth, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. Are we there yet? No. One jot, that's the Hebrew letter Yod, the smallest Hebrew letter. Or one tittle, that's a piece of a letter that if changed would cause you to confuse, say, a dalet and a resh. So not a letter or a piece of a letter will by any means pass from the Torah till all is fulfilled. This is a different word, fulfilled. This one's genetai. G-E-N-E-T-A-I, genetai. And it means till everything that's been prophesied comes to pass. When is all prophecy complete? It's when we're in the new heavens and the new earth. So in Matthew 5:18, you have Hebrew parallelism. Till heaven and earth pass away, until all is fulfilled, means the same thing. Two different ways of saying the same thing. So according to Messiah, what portion of the Torah will be done away with before we get to the new heavens and the new earth? None. And that's where preachers say, well, it was true when he said it. What does the scripture say in Matthew chapter 24? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Let's go look at it. Matthew 24:35. Same author, same Messiah speaking, same red letters. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Surely Peter said the law is going to be done away with. No, he did not. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What's truth? Psalm 119, verse 142. The Torah's truth. Through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides, what's that next word? Forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass withers and his flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So in verse 23, it abides forever. In verse 25, it endures forever. What's Peter trying to say?
It's forever.
It's forever. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him.